There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead us in our new favorite song.
Thank you, Master!
Welcome to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast,
yo.
Part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Feels good to say that.
Right?
Feels good to say that.
Brand new.
Thank you so much to Chris Axman for reaching out to us and adding us to the network. And today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. If you are an MFFL whose eyes are tired and hurting from staring at screens all day, refreshing your Twitter page, and hoops hype rumors just refreshing all day like me and Taman have, waiting for the Mavs to make a trade, take a break and get a free audiobook download and a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/almighty. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from for iPhone, Android, Kindle, and most other listening devices. Taman, you can get the Furious George Carl book, the one that everybody was up in arms about, where he talked about Kenyon Martin's childhood and stuff. You can get that book. You can get Game of My Life about the Dallas Cowboys by Jean-Jacques Taylor. You can get Tales from the Mavericks Locker Room by Jamie Aaron. Ooh. You can get the inspirational story of basketball superstar Dirk Nowitzki by Bill Redman. Even the Bible is on Audible. So you can get the Bible if you want to, you know, just drive around. If you're done watching screens, you can just listen and get smarter. You know, just go and read some of those books, and you won't have to sit down and read them yourself. You can get them read to you by somebody that's professional.
Yes.
So to download one of those books or any of the other thousands of options for free today, go to audibletrial.com/almighty. Again, that's audibletrial.com/almighty for your free audiobook.
I like it.
So if you've never listened to this podcast before, thanks so much for joining us. I'm Nick Angstead.
Some changes.
Writer at MavsFanatic.com, and joined with me as always, Taman Turner.
The one and the only.
The one and only. We have an amazing show for you today.
Love it.
Amazing show.
You will love this show today because we have two great guests.
We do.
On this podcast today. We have Mike Fisher from 105.3 The Fan, who's a Mavs insider at DallasBasketball.com. And we have Ryan Wilson, who's actually the founder, the owner, whatever you want to put it, the CEO of MavsFanatic.com.
And it is trade season right now. The Mavericks are in a couple trade talks right now. Darren Williams, Andrew Bogut will address those with Mike Fisher. He'll give us the up-to-date, up-to-the-minute updates on Andrew Bogut and Darren Williams and see whether those guys are going to get traded.
I wonder. The mystery is just out there.
We are about, what are we, like 15 hours, 18 hours away from the trade deadline? It's at 2 p.m. on Thursday, so we're recording this on a Wednesday night. And it's
20 hours away.
2 p.m. tomorrow is the trade deadline.
21 hours.
Or if you're listening to us on Thursday, depending on what time, it could have already ended. So, yeah, we got a great show. Fish is going to give us some good information. Got some good stuff. I mean, stuff that I didn't know from Fish.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of things happen in the last week and a half.
A lot of things happen behind the scenes that we don't even know.
Right. A lot of things happen. You're going to hear some, you're going to find out certain things about certain players that you just never expected. We also get in depth a little bit about that big trade that happened over the All-Star weekend, Boogie Cousins.
Let's talk about that for a minute before we bring on Fish. So I wrote an article this week for MavsFanatic.com. Go check that out. It's Boogie in the Brow, What Now? And it's basically saying, what does this mean for the Mavericks? And from the Mavericks' perspective, I mean, it's two different teams in the West that don't necessarily, you know, have to do with the Mavericks. I mean, the Pelicans are in their division, but who cares about divisions anymore? Like, divisions don't really mean anything. But for the Mavericks, what does it mean? Because now you have the Pelicans, who are significantly better.
Without a doubt.
Significantly better.
The only way that are not better is if there is just a massive, massive chemistry problem with that team. It would have to be something internal.
It would have to be like late Shaq and Kobe, like really bad.
Yeah, either that or remember, this is not on the exact same scale, but remember the whole D'Angelo Russell thing last year? if something
with the Snapchat thing,
right? If something like that happened to just totally kill the chemistry, yeah. But from a basketball standpoint, from a strict skills and basketball standpoint, New Orleans just went from here to here,
which he did the hand motion, which doesn't translate over radio.
No, it doesn't. But you get it in my voice. You go from here to here.
You go from me to straight up Stephen A. Smith. That's the level.
I'm gonna keep it to you real, brother.
And then on the other side of it, so you have the Pelicans are now the favorite for the 8th seed. I mean,
without a doubt,
Denver is sitting in there. I think they have another trade in them. I think they're shopping Wilson Chandler and Gallinari all over the place today. So yeah, they have a trade in them.
Right. I mean,
and then. But I mean, the Pelicans are now more talented than the Nuggets. And then underneath the Mavericks, the race, or the quote unquote race for the top spot, they're not going to catch the Suns. They're not going to catch the Lakers. The Lakers have gotten worse trading Lou Williams. And now the Kings roster is so bad.
Yes, it is. But remember, the one thing the Mavs have going for them, if they're going to race for that top seed, like Chris Arnold said when he was on this podcast a few months ago.
About the amateur GMs?
Like I was saying, Chris Arnold, who was on this podcast a few weeks ago, remember, the NBA has a lottery. So as long as they're there,
yeah,
they have a shot at that top seed.
Cleveland, when they got Wiggins, right, they had like a 1% chance or something like that of getting the top seed, and they did end up getting them, and that changed their franchise forever.
Right. I mean, it's with New Orleans trading for Boogie, this is a brand new race for the 18. And they're definitely the favorite. But
even though they're a couple games out. I mean, I think the Mavericks are three games out, so that means that
they're two and a half.
Yeah, that New Orleans is two and a half games out.
I mean, and here's the thing. I mean, yeah, they're the favorite from a basketball standpoint, but sometimes things don't work out. It does happen. It has happened in sports before when big trades happen, especially it being midseason. But personally, I think it's like Pau Gasol going to the Lakers is going to work. New Orleans, go have fun, Big Easy.
And it's the first time he's
Can
in
I call
a,
him that now?
The Big Easy?
Yeah.
The Boog Easy?
The Boog Easy.
Boog Easy.
The Boog Easy.
The Boog Easy.
The Boog Easy.
We just keep saying that over and over again.
Boog Easy.
But the Kings are way worse now.
Oh, the Kings.
The Kings haven't won 35 games with DeMarcus Cousins.
Suck.
And now DeMarcus Cousins is gone.
Yeah.
And I think Vivek Ranadive thinks that the Kings might be better because there was a game, and a couple people have mentioned this, that there was a game earlier this season that that Boogie didn't play. And the Kings played really hard, and I think they lost to the Celtics by like 2 points or something like that, or maybe they beat the Celtics.
If there are any Kings fans who somehow listen to this podcast,
first of all, thank you.
Yeah, for one, thank you, and number two, please tweet at us because we'd love to have you on the show.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear.
Yeah, I wanna
what
hear
is
what...
going through your mind right now because you, I listen. My I... team has throughout my life in sports, some of my teams have done some dumb things. This has to be up there
Rondo.
On top. Yeah. Rondo, good God. This Kings has to be one of the top worst trades, not in the NBA history, but in sports history. This is a dumb trade.
I think there are some Kings fans that are happy that he's gone.
Who? Well, okay.
Especially the people at Zactown Royalty, the SB Nation blog that covers the Kings.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're happy.
Boogie has thrown
call them out anymore.
He's thrown them out of the media room a couple times.
Here's the thing, though. They might be happy individually that Boogie's gone, but they know that they could have gotten a better – could have better talent coming in than what they got.
And Vlade Divac even said that he had a better trade offer, but Vivek Ranadive didn't let him, you know,
the Kings
pull the trigger, basically.
The Kings are a mess.
So that definitely puts – and this is what I wrote in the article, and you can read it at massfanatic.com. This definitely puts – a team ahead of the Mavericks. So the Mavericks aren't going to make the playoffs. Between Denver and New Orleans
– What? Nick just said it? He's been saying what I've been saying since September.
It's been a possibility all year that they're not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, he kind of changed the
team. But no. But now they're definitely not. There's no way that they're going to make.
So are you on Team Tank?
Unless something happens with Jokic, or the Boogie Easy, or the Brow. Boogie Easy and the Brow sounds so good.
Yeah, Boogie Easy and the Brow. By the way, are you on Team Tank?
I might be.
Yes. Amateur GM number two is in the house.
But Mike Fisher puts it in a way that I think everybody's going to agree with. So
I agree.
We'll address that when we talk to Mike Fisher. But it definitely puts a team ahead of them, and then definitely a team behind. The Mavericks aren't going to be worse than the Kings are from here on out. Who's going to lead the Kings in scoring? Buddy? Tyreek Evans again? Darren Collison, they're shopping. I wish you could see Taman's face. It's just.
I think the silence.
Rudy Gay's out for the season. So Rudy Gay ain't walking through that door unless it's on crutches. He's gone. Taman's gone. Taman has left the room. There he goes. He opened the door. He walked out of the studio.
That's how much I do. I have nothing to say. The Kings suck. The Kings, like, they're flat out terrible.
And they kind of want to be. They're gonna try to be the Process West.
But you know what? They're doing what Chris Arnold brought up, and you guys will listen when we talk to Mike Fisher. That's not a good blueprint that you want to put on your organization. You're trying to lose, and everybody knows it. I mean, you just do.
Yeah.
And that's not a good. You don't want to have that as your friend. I mean, this team almost left Sacramento. What, 3, 4, 5 years ago?
No, like
they
2
were on
years
the
ago,
verge of leaving yeah. Sacramento. Now, if they leave in the next 5 years, would anybody be shocked?
I would, because they just built that new arena. It's state of the art, all that stuff, and the city's still paying for it. Tim McMahon is
the
tweeting.
City of Sacramento
Tim McMahon
might have got
screwed. Tweeting out Yogi stats and Sala Mejri stats. That makes me think that there's nothing happening right now on the trade market front. Yeah. So, things are happening. I mean, kind of. Andrew Bogut and Darren Williams being held out of practice. We'll talk to Fish about that. What that
That's
means.
That's huge.
That is good stuff. Then, we've also mentioned that Ryan Wilson, the founder of Mavs Fanatic, is joining us to talk about how Mavs Fanatic got started. And he has a different sort of opinion on what the Mavericks are going to do besides Fish.
Yeah, I mean.
At the deadline, at least.
Yeah, I mean, the deadline, it's interesting to watch what happens every single year. But I think, you know, this year, the big wow was obviously, you know, Boogiesy going to New Orleans. But for the Mavericks, I don't know what direction they're going to do. If they're going to make a trade, make it for the future. You have to.
Yeah. And then underneath the Mavericks, more for the, I mean, man, it's going to be hard. Brooklyn is there. Brooklyn is so low. Joel Embiid is working his way back. For the Sixers, Sixers are going to be bad.
That's your boy.
The Suns are still going to stay bad. They're trying to unload Brandon Knight, which I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Right.
Also, let's talk about this again. One more thing before we bring on Fish. Mark Cuban came out and said that the Mavericks will take contracts to get draft assets. With what cap space are they taking on contracts?
Yeah, that doesn't.
They're the sixth highest payroll in the NBA.
Yeah, does Mark have like a secret stash that we all
know about? No. Listen to me. Mark Cuban has all the secret stash.
He does.
If there is a secret stash in Dallas, he has it.
Right.
Or he has been there and visited.
Can he give me some?
So
for real.
So I just don't know where they're gonna get that extra cap space. Maybe they're sending contracts out as well, and they're taking longer deals. I mean, maybe it's taking a guy like an Omer Asik. Maybe they're taking a guy it's a terrible contract. The worst contract in the NBA right now is probably Allen Crabbe, $18 million to Allen Crabbe, and Seth Curry's stats are better than his.
Right. the Mavericks. I mean. Really, this is interesting because you can make the argument that their summer is starting now. You know, they have to, whatever trade that they decide to make.
It happened as soon as the Boogie deal.
Right.
Happened.
You have to shape it up for the summer. And, you know, the goal for the summer is obviously to get better, but you have to get better not just for now, but for the future. And you have to wonder, what is Dirk thinking through all this?
Yeah.
You know, is Dirk thinking, should I hang it up or should I give it one more go? Now, I think, if Dirk does hang it up, let's just hypothetically say he does. If Dirk hangs it up, us Mavs fans, although we'll be sad, we can't blame him for wanting to hang it up. But at the same time, I think Dirk is such the type of guy that if he's feeling that he wants to do this again, he'll do it.
Oh, so, definitely. Right. I mean, nobody's going to convince Dirk to not hang it.
Right,
I mean,
and Dirk's an honorable guy. He signed a 2-year deal. I think he wants to play that out. But, again, Mavs fans might want to position themselves that if Dirk kind of quietly goes out, kind of like Duncan did last year, we have to respect it. And, you know, we just thank Dirk for his 19 seasons that he played here.
Dirk is looking at – I think one thing that's going to keep Dirk is he's going to score 30,000 points sometime this week.
Yes.
He is
very, very
93
very
points away from 30,000 points and only 5
He's going to score 93 points against Minnesota.
I hope not, because I won't be at that game. Because it's an away game.
Okay.
I hope he doesn't.
He'll score 92.
I hope he scores 40 against the against
Minnesota,
and then 53 against the Boogieezy against the Pelicans on Saturday. And he's also 1,500-ish points away from Wilt Chamberlain and top five in the NBA. I mean, I think he's looking at that, too.
Maybe.
I mean, you can't fault a guy for looking at that being like, I want to be one of the top five scorers in NBA history. That's huge. That's huge. That means only four guys have scored more points than you.
It's huge, but, you know, Dirk doesn't care about his stats. Dirk's all about winning.
Oh, he cares about his stats.
Dirk's all about winning.
Dirk does care about his stats.
I mean, no, I don't want to say that.
That's not all he's going out for.
Listen, it's not that he cares, but
he's not Russell Westbrook going out there like, I'm going to get a triple-double right now.
If Dirk scores 9 points in a game, but the Mavericks win by 20, Dirk is more happier that the Mavs won. He's all about team. He's more about team winning than he is about his individual stats. I'm not saying he doesn't care about his stats, because obviously that's every player does. But what I'm saying is that Dirk rather the Mavs win and he scored 3 points than him scoring 30 points and the Mavericks losing.
Sure. But he does care about his stats.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Literal.
He does.
Yes. He does, of course. I'm saying he does. He does. He definitely.
And I'm saying that could be a deciding factor in him coming back.
But if they're not winning, which is my point, he may hang it up.
This can be a conversation for the summer. We can hold this off until summer. But today,
have a fun time with
today that. Is trade deadline eve, and let's bring on Mike Fisher to discuss all the rumors and all the updates that are happening right now for the Mavericks. Here's Mike.
Welcome back here to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast. I'm Tamen Turner, along with Nick Angstead. We're getting ready to talk about the Dallas Mavericks, who are currently 22-34 coming out of the All-Star break. They are sitting at the 12th seed right now in the Western Conference. They're currently three games back in the playoff hunt for that 8th seed, that final seed in the Western Conference. And guess what? The trade deadline looms with us tomorrow at 2 p.m. Central Time. That is 2 p.m. Central Time. The NBA trade deadline is upon us. Joining us to talk about that is the man himself from 105.3 The Fan. He's the Mavs insider for DallasBasketball.com. That is Mike Fisher. Mike, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, and things really are moving fast. I mean, as we speak, So let's
get right on the board. Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut, a lot of talk about them. What have you heard about them possibly being traded?
Yeah, the first thing that is factual is, and I'll kind of do this in chronological order, A.J. Hammons, the Mavericks center, was going to be on assignment tonight to play with the Legends in Frisco. And he was here in Frisco at 4:30. And then Coach Bob McKinnon called him and said, you need to go downtown.
Whoa.
Wow.
And then we wrote that on Twitter at Fish Sports. And then about an hour later, the Mavericks sent out their email confirming that he'd been recalled. Well, why are you recalling a player from the Legends when the Legends have a game tonight to the Mavericks who don't play? Well, the reason is because I think they had a full scrimmage today, and I think they'll have one tonight or whatever, and I think they'll have another one tomorrow morning and then get on the plane. And I think, and I'm reporting, that the reason they called A.J. Hammons down there is because that's how realistic a Bogut trade is, possibly, and that's how realistic a possible Deron Williams trade is. They needed bodies down there. And now we find out that Bogut did not practice today,
right?
And Deron Williams did not practice today, so things are absolutely cooking.
For Deron Williams, we've heard rumors both from coming out of Utah and also Cleveland a little bit in the picture. Do you think either of those are probably the highest possibility locations for him to be sent to, or you think there's anyone else in the
mix? Last night, this was probably at midnight, somebody who understands the negotiations about Deron Williams as it relates to Utah said that thing's still on. That's still a conversation piece. I don't think Utah is particularly in love with the idea of giving up a certain first-round pick, but they have a bundle of them, and so that conversation really did happen yesterday. Our David Lord at DallasBasketball.com today, he's hearing that the Cleveland and Deron Williams idea is what's popping back up now. And And I'm going to work on the mechanics of that. You know, the Darren Williams to Utah thing is really simple. It's not a complex trade. The Darren Williams to Cleveland, there's some complexities there. And what the Mavericks want to do is they just want to pick back, and they don't want players back. But you have to take somebody in a trade match. So that's going to be a challenge there. Utah, because of where they are under the cap, they have to have a salary trade match. And then the Andrew Bogut to Boston thing, which we reported on DallasBasketball.com at the beginning of the week, there's got to be a big shoot drops that accelerates that one. So let's say it's Jimmy Butler. If Jimmy Butler to Boston works, then that can be out of the way, and Boston can get to the business of maybe bringing Andrew Bogut there. And they have a bunch of picks, obviously, the Celtics do in the next years. And the Mavericks would want one of those. And people are kind of poking fun at me because I said, hey, did one of those first-round picks? Well, what do you mean? The first one? Because this year's, they have the Brooklyns, right?
Right.
And, you know, where's that going to end up? The first overall pick, second? Well, you know, I guess the Mavericks can go ahead and ask for that. But I'll take any first-round pick that I can get in any year at any time because of where the Mavericks aren't going this year. That much is clear to me. God bless the players for trying otherwise, but it seems to be apparent.
So, Mike, let me ask you this. With the Mavericks potentially making moves in the next, 15 hours, if they make a move, what's their goal? Are they trying to make the playoffs, or are they doing what Mark Cuban said on 105.3 The Fan last week to Ben and Skin? Are they tanking? Or, I mean, what's their goal here?
Yeah, and you're right on the money in covering Cuban's comments. The phrase that we came up with in covering the Cowboys last year was organic tanking, which is I'm not trying to lose, but if I end up losing in an organic way, then that's acceptable. If you lose on purpose, that's cancerous.
Yeah,
that really sets your organization back. It sets the mindset back. That's where the Sixers have been for 7 years, and the Sixers almost in that city for a long time. They have barely mattered because of it. But organic tanking, that's what Cuban's really referring to. What he was saying, and he's said it a few times in the last few months, we're trying to win. We're just not winning. That's a form of tanking. And I'm going to call it organic tanking. If you don't have Bogut here, and you don't have D. Willis there, and you're in 12th place in best, and I think they're in the 7th spot right now in the lottery, one game away from being in the 4th spot, boys, it's just two more months of pain. And then if you do it right this summer, you never have to do this again. Well, you will in your lifetime, but you sure won't in my life.
Hopefully not. Hopefully we won't have to go through that again.
It's been painful.
So yesterday you tweeted about the whole Lakers situation with getting rid of Jim Buss, but moving Jim Buss out of his position and Mitch Kupchak out of his position and bringing in Magic Johnson. You said, no offense to the new Lakers guy in charge, but if I'm looking to outfox a team in a trade, I'm calling L.A. like right now. Do you see a potential – what would you want from the Lakers? What would you try to get? What would, if you were to call up the Lakers right now, what would you ask for?
You know, and maybe that's not a Maverick-specific concept as much as it is a three-team-specific concept. And I really don't mean offense to the people that run the Lakers. Heck, the people before Magic Johnson haven't done a good job lately either.
Yeah, true.
But I surely can envision that move being about PR as much as anything else. And I can envision Miss Buss and the other people that are left there popping champagne cork, and I would like to call them between champagne bottles. And they third active Lakers have and to fix things, and they're in position to tank. There's no question about that. Now we know that we're starting to see other teams very much in position to tank, and then we're seeing the assertion of the Pelicans. Pelicans are going to be good Saturday night at the American Airlines Center against the Mavericks. And so there's certainly a line of delineation between who's good and who isn't, I think, on the court. And the Lakers have yet to prove they're above the line of senility, above that same line when it comes to running a basketball team.
Mike, you kind of brought this up, the New Orleans Pelicans coming to Dallas on Saturday. The Pelicans in general, as we know, the big trade happened over the weekend. The Sacramento Kings, nobody knows what they're doing. But how are the Pelicans, are they just the favorite to win this thing now that they have Boogie and Anthony Davis?
Win this being the eighth seed.
Yeah, winning being the eighth seed. Not all of it. Yeah.
First of all, won't New Orleans versus Golden State be more fun in the first round?
Yes.
Versus Golden State?
So much more.
Just as a basketball fan, I would think so. They're nowhere close to being done. I guess you'd figure out a way to re-sign him this summer and have him be a part of it. But, yeah, that's a scary team. And I'll tell you what I think can happen there. Again, I disrespect the people present in charge. But don't all come when his season's over or when your season's over and say, how would you like to come and coach a couple of Kentucky guys?
Yeah.
Especially one of them that has been so uncoachable in the NBA. How much do you want to come fix this? And, you know, the right coach with Boogie Cousins, he won't just be top five talent in the NBA. He'll actually be a top five player.
Yeah, so we have Mike Fisher from 105.3 The Fan and DallasBasketball.com joining us right now on the Mavs Fanatic Podcast, and he just brought up the Coach Calipari coming to the New Orleans Pelicans, and why wouldn't the Pelicans at least approach him in doing that? Would they just have to go up to Calipari and be like, how much money do you want? Here's a blank check. Come, you know, come coach our team.
Yeah, I think first of all, you have to look behind the scenes and with his shits, and because he can't publicly turn his back on Kentucky until he actually turns his back. You know, he can't turn his back. None of the college coaches can turn their back on their present schools until they actually get paid and signed, and then they turn their back. I'm not obviously privy to how that might work specifically, but sure. I certainly, you go to somebody like that and say, we'll pay $1 more than anybody else makes.
Mike, I this might be a silly question to ask, but if let's just say the Mavericks do somehow make the playoffs, New Orleans just the chemistry doesn't work, whatever. The Mavericks do make the playoffs. What are the chances the Mavericks finally get their revenge on the Golden State Warriors from 10 years ago?
Yeah, I'm a homer, but I'm not that much. I'm a competitor. I'm trying to win. I do understand we were doing about Dirk. If Steph Curry gets hurt in game two, what if Steph Curry and Klay Thompson get hurt by clunking into each other in game two? I get all that. But the value of having the fourth overall pick in the draft and then traded for another first pick from somebody else some other way, and then making sure I call up my $30 million for a young Max and then go chase Otto Porter Jr., I would rather have those three things than have a middle first round pick and think that I better keep Darren and Bogut because I might need him in the playoffs. And by the way, or make a trade where I take on somebody's ballots and then that ruins my $29 million worth of room in the summer. The Mavericks need to be very precise here and use all the avenues of getting better. That was their big mistake. They get made fun of on the Greek Freak thing, as I know you guys are all aware of.
Yeah.
The big mistake there was they carved out room for a fantasy. And then we got to the Dwight Howard summer, and then teams that didn't even have room were bidders on Dwight Howard because they were just gonna come up with trades to get him there. And the Mavericks sat with cap room and it was like 100,000 more that they needed for Dwight Howard, so that slid down, as you remember, from the Greek Freak, who Donnie loved, and Donnie lived with him overseas for about a month almost, and they end up with Shane Orton and an extra $100,000 worth of room to help them get Dwight, who they didn't get. And it was all eggs in one basket kind of approach. This summer, I want the Mavericks to have all eggs in all baskets.
So it sounds like you're on Team Tank. I have to ask this because my co-host...
I'm on Team Organic Tank.
Yeah. See, I like that. Right. I like that.
It's different.
I think Justin Anderson playing a lot, and Dwight Powell playing a lot, and A.J. Hammonds playing for the varsity can put in good efforts and learn a lot and lose by three.
Yeah, on this trade deadline, do you see anybody... besides possibly Dirk, do you see anybody as untouchable for the Mavericks?
I know what the Mavericks view is. Is that first of all, you know, they've lucky good stumbled into Harrison Barnes, and there's no reason to make that change. Cuban has told me, and we've written about it, that Wes Matthews, untouchable is the wrong word, but Wes Matthews is the kind of guy you've just got to have on your team if you're going to be good. And then obviously there's Dirk, but everything else, and that's what's so tragic, basketball tragic, about what the Kings did with Boogie. The Mavericks called, I guess if you kind of follow what we do here, you know this, with all due humility, but the Mavericks called on Sunday night. They called the Kings and said, we'd like to talk to you about Boogie. And the Kings said, no, we're not trading him. Sure, yeah, we're set. And they had told Boogie Cousins the same thing, you know, an hour before, and right. his agents. And the next thing you know, the next team that calls, they said yes to. And then Vlad dropped the next couple of days and said, we had an even better offer than this a couple of days ago, but we took this one. It's just, how do you negotiate with a sanitarium? Because that's what the Kings are right now. And the Mavericks tried. And we can criticize the Mavericks, by the way. I guess you should have called again. And a thousandth time and a 10,000th time. I'm sure Dallas's plan was they'd call again Monday. But by Monday, the undoable was done.
Do you think that was the Kings just didn't know what they were doing or hadn't come up with a decision yet, or you think they didn't want him in the Western Conference?
I don't understand. What, you have to have Boogie Cousins. Once you get one, you have to make it work.
Yeah.
And because they're so rare. I'll go back. This is 11 years ago now, and I'm down in the basement at the AAC with Donnie Nelson, and the rumor's getting out there that the Timberwolves are tired of only winning 50 games. They got to make a change so they can get over the top. So they're going to get rid of Kevin Garnett.
Oof.
And I said to Donnie, I said, what do you think of him? And Donnie and his dad just loved Kevin Garnett, and not just as a player. They just he was the, you know, forget his bullying, that he, you know, silly bully stuff that he did on the court. They just thought he was just a prince. And Donnie says to me, if the Minnesota trades Garnett, they will regret it for a decade and a half, because that's how long it will take them to find another one. And here we are 11 years later, and there's only four more years to go. And he's right. They still haven't. They almost did, I guess, in Kevin Love, and then they said goodbye to him. But Ricky Rubio's not that. Oh, and, of course, now maybe they've got talent again. Minnesota does. Yeah. But they don't have Kevin Garnett yet. They don't have a 50-win team yet. So that's Sacramento's big mistake. Once you get one of those guys, you've just got to make it work.
Yeah, totally.
Got to be there. Mike Fisher, we want to thank you so much for joining us here on the Mavs Fanatic Podcast. That's Mike Fisher from 105.3 The Fan and Mavs Insider for DallasBasketball.com. Thanks again, Mike.
Well, I appreciate what you guys – you know, I appreciate your enthusiasm and your devotion. It's more popular now to be anti-Mav and to bash the Mavs and make fun of them and, frankly, to be spoiled by –
Can you repeat that again for my co-host?
I appreciate that. Yeah, I love you guys have the same, you know, young guy enthusiasm that I have as an old guy.
Well, we appreciate that, Mike. We really do. Thanks.
And hopefully we'll still have it when we're your age.
Right?
There you go.
Thank you much, Mike.
There you go. That was Mike Fisher.
Mike Fisher from 105.3 The Fan and Mavs Insider for DallasBasketball.com.
And you can follow him at Fish Sports, but I'm assuming that everybody already is.
Yeah, if you're not, then I have to really question why you're listening to this podcast, because you're a Mavs fan. This is a Mavs Insider for here.
Before we bring on Ryan Wilson from the Mavs Fanatic, the founder of Mavs Fanatic, let's unpack some of that. Man, there was just some good stuff in there, and
enjoyed it.
The audio was a little bit shaky, which, you know, apologize for that, but. The first thing that I wrote is that Donnie Nelson lived with the Greek freak for a month.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what?
I never heard that.
Yeah, I never heard that. And that number one. And number two, how did you not draft him if you lived it with the man? I don't want to say lived it. I don't want to say live. You lived it with the man. Come on, Donnie.
Gosh, that got me.
Yeah,
I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Like, you just kind of like, wait, what?
And that was all because, in that summer, that was the summer of 2013. So who are they? They were trying to get Dwight Howard and Deron Williams then, right? That was the year.
13. No, well, that
Fish said they were trying to make 13? Space for Dwight Howard.
I thought it was 12. No, you're right. It was 13 because it was.
That's when they went to the Lakers.
Right, right, right. Yeah, you're right.
14.
It was 13. You're correct.
Which, I mean, man, like, so, and then that's when they ended up doing the Shane Larkin draft, right?
Yes, and remember, we kind of liked Shane Larkin when he got judged. We didn't think it was a bad pick, but obviously we were all wrong.
Looking back, I mean, and after Giannis, I mean, Rudy Gobert went after him too, right, late. I mean, that would have been, man, that's the upgrade of Tyson Chandler that you need on that you would have needed on this Mavericks team, and that Mavericks just had no idea.
The Mavericks kept swinging for big fishes in free agency. They weren't really
pun intended on big fish.
Yeah, got it on big. Yes, big fish. Yes, there you go. They kept swinging for the fences, and they struck out every single time. It was like the hitter who, you know, I look at the Mavericks this season like this. You know, they're the guy who hits 35, 40 home runs every single year, but they only bat like 220. So there's no in between. They're either going for the swing, they're either getting the home run or they're getting the strikeout. That's pretty much how.
I'm not sure about a Rangers comparison, but this is they're the Adam Dunn of baseball.
Yes, yes, they're
either
going to
strike
comparison.
Out or they're going to hit a home run.
That is a perfect comparison. Because totally. Adam Dunn is a guaranteed 30, 40 home run guy every year, but he's also a guaranteed 212 hitter every year.
So, all right.
Before he retired.
Other thing, the Mavs actually called the Kings on Sunday, which I guess we'd heard a little bit of that, but Mike Fisher said specifically he confirmed that they had actually called him.
Yeah,
so,
the Kings are just.
What are they? I mean.
Good Lord. They are a like, I don't know. They're just.
We complain about the Knicks all the time. The Kings might be worse.
I have breaking news.
They don't have.
I have breaking news. This is coming
from. Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Yes, this is breaking news from the Mavs Fanatic Podcast. The Sacramento Kings have overstepped the New York Knicks as the biggest train wreck in sports. I don't know what in the world they're doing. It's a fact. You heard it from me. I am the guy who has made fun of the New York Knicks for years. But the Sacramento Kings, what in tarnation's got the world? What are you doing? You know, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, talks about bad trade deals. This is on top
of
the list.
It's bad.
It's bigly bad. It's terrible. Believe me, it's terrible. It is literally that bad.
I'm bad at Trump, but you might be worse at Trump than me.
Believe me. Don't laugh. I'll turn you the facts.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Knicks have more existential issues. Like, the Charles Oakley thing was not an on-the-court or a basketball operations thing. That was, like, around their franchise. The Kings don't necessarily have those type of situations. But the on-the-court situation is just...
I have always described the New York Knicks as a guaranteed comedy show. Because they're a drama show. They're like a, you know, I said Keeping Up with the Knicks as a comparison to Keeping Up with the Kardashians. There's so much drama there. With the Sacramento Kings, I literally think that they just have a bunch of guys running the team. Like, I know Vlade Divac is there, and much respect to Vlade Divac because I love him as a player. But everybody else who's there, I think they're just, you know, oh, we'll trade him. No, we won't trade him. We won't trade him. We'll trade him. Let's trade him for that guy. Hey, right guy, blonde guy in the microphone. You want to play basketball? We'll trade. We want you for DeMarcus Cousins, a top five player in his league.
Also, since we should just stop talking about the Kings because it's trade deadline day, and we got to talk. We got to go all Mavericks. I heard the report right before Fish came on with us that Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut had both been held out of practice today.
Yeah, that was big. That tells.
I think that at least says that they're at least shopping them.
Yeah,
you know?
They're definitely on the block.
So if you're listening to this and they have already traded them, then that was a sign that, you know, that they had actually done something. But if they haven't traded them by the time you hear this, then they're at least shopping. Like, we know that they at least tried, you know, and they're gonna do their best to get a good situation. And the market, I mean, the market's been all over the place for guys. I mean, Serge Ibaka goes for a young player and a first, but Boogie goes for a first, a second, a young player, and then Tyreke Evans and Langston Galloway, whatever you want to assess those guys as. And so,
damage goods.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, and another trade that happened, yesterday? Lakers trading Lou Williams for
first Magic Johnson's first trade. Yeah. He made like 3 hours after he was
hired. Well, hey, Magic,
he was hired as like an advisor before that, right? And then they appointed him as president of basketball operation. But yeah, and so Lou Williams gets traded for a first too. So Lou Williams, Serge Ibaka, kind of the same. Maybe Serge Ibaka a little bit higher trade value, but and you can't think that Bogut and D Will are worth what Lou Williams is worth, right?
Right. Where do you think D Will's going to?
I like the Utah thing. And like Fish said, I think the Utah thing is a little bit more clean. I mean, it's a little easier to go in the trade machine and try to figure out, okay, it's Darren Williams for this guy and then a pick. And the Cleveland thing is near impossible. I mean, who are they going to send here? The Amon Shumpert thing's been thrown out, but I don't think Cleveland wants to get rid of Shumpert. I mean, he's, you know, good defender, and they need him. They need all those wing guys against the Warriors if they're going to go back and repeat. No, it would be a three-peat in the finals. If they're going to do that, then they're going to need guys like that
right.
to come off the bench, more so than a Darren Williams that may or may not be, you know,
No, you're right. And you know, Cleveland needs depth. I mean, you know, Kevin Love's out for 6 months. I know he doesn't play point guard, but I'm saying just – you don't want to have if Kyrie gets hurt, Cleveland is hurting.
That's it. I mean, what do they do?
I mean,
I guess they would.
I still believe LeBron's the best player on the planet. I think he would carry them. Similar
just like in their 2015
right,
finals.
Right. I think he would carry them, but there's no way they'd win a championship. If they were to win a championship, I would put LeBron as best player ever.
That's it.
Now, that if you do that without Kyrie and Love, here you go, best player ever. I love you, Michael. I don't see that happening, but. If that were to happen, Michael, you got to pass over the throne.
So the Mavericks are at least trying to make a trade. Well, so we'll see. We got our finger on the pulse right now. Yeah, right. I got notifications from everything popping up.
Yeah, everything is up and on, and we're seeing what they're going to do. I mean, if they do make a deal, I mean, and kind of like what Mike said a couple minutes ago, the Mavericks, they're not really playing to win. If they do win, I guess that's good. But if they don't win, it's not. I think they looked at both sides, team tank and team playoffs, as they see benefits to both. And they see, you know, they see pros and cons to both. So they're doing what they can, organic tanking.
So if we're going to run this with this organic tanking thing, are you the tank farmer? Are you Farmer Tank? Is that what we can call you?
That's fine. Because
the tank commander?
I am organic tanking. I'm the farmer.
And with this trade, Sixers are trading for Tiago Splitter.
Why? Tiago Splitter.
I guess they're getting 2 second-round picks for it.
I'm reading what Fish just tweeted out on Twitter.
this is great radio, by the way.
Yeah, this is amazing radio.
Us just reading our phones trying to figure out what's happening right? Because that's what you do on this. That's what you do on this day.
Right, exclusive. The Cavs Darren Williams trade to be chased. Mavs premium. Scott.com.
So they're chasing him. So Cleveland's attempting.
Cleveland wants him bad.
Cleveland's attempting. And that could be the playmaker that LeBron wants. And I think we mentioned that as soon as that came up. They were saying, well, we got Darren Williams. You want Darren Williams? You guys want Darren Williams?
If you're the Cavs, you absolutely want Darren Williams.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely.
He's still good.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's not.
I mean, he's had some injuries. He's not the player he was about 10 years ago, but he can still ball.
Yeah, he
There's
can.
There's no doubt about
he
it.
He can still dish, and he can still score. All
right.
And that's all they need.
100% agree.
That's all they need. So more of that to come. We're going to bring on Ryan Wilson, the founder of Mavs Fanatic, and talk about where he came from, because this is the first time that the Mavs Fanatic has been on the Almighty Baller podcast network. And so we're going to give you a little taste of what it's like to be, you know, where we came from, how it got started, where did Mavs Fanatic come from. We're not SB Nation. We're not fan-sided. We're not one of those. So we just wanted to give you guys a little bit of a taste of where you come from. So listen to our interview with Ryan. All right, joining us right now on the phone is the founder of MavsFanatic.com and technically our boss, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. That's how it works. I mean, he's kind of the founder, the owner. He can kind of do whatever he wants.
Ryan Wilson of MavsFanatic.com. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
So Mavs trade deadline. We just got done talking with Mike Fisher, and he's talking to us about, you know, Darren Williams, potential trades, Bogut potential trades. What's your feeling or what's your thoughts right now on the trade deadline for the Mavericks?
It's the same it is every year. Smoke and mirrors kind of thing, really, to be honest with you. You know, I just saw there was a report of Darren Williams and Bogut sitting out. Practice, but I mean, yeah. You could take it for what it is. They haven't been practicing a whole lot much anyways lately, but, you know, obviously they're not going to keep those guys practicing, risk them getting hurt in the practice or anything like that, so it makes sense that they're actively trying to shop those guys. I think there's some interesting ideas that they could lean towards, but if it's my honest opinion, I don't see much happening. I honestly think it's going to be one of those awkward situations where you're going to have two guys you were shopping and they're going to fortunately just, you know, be right back in a Mavericks jersey, once the All-Star week is over.
I kind of like that too, Ryan. I think that's fair enough. Now, I know this may be a silly question because I know you listen to this podcast, and I know Nick has been all team playoffs and I've been all team tank. With the Pelicans making the trade that they made over the weekend for Boogie Cousins, is it finally safe to say the Mavericks are just – they're not going to make the playoffs. They should just tank this thing away. It's over.
I'm team tank because I just have seen them try to swing for the fences too many times. So I think it's just the way they need to go. It's rough to watch Dirk sit on a team that's going through a phase like that. But, I mean, Dirk's won a ring. He seems content as long as they at least put a team out there that can compete. And then the roster they have, I mean, Carlisle does a magical job of, you know, allowing them to perform at the best of their abilities and sometimes even beyond their abilities. So I think this is the best route to go. If you can get some draft picks possibly, you know, some pieces around and build for the future, I think that's the way to go, honestly.
Yeah. So, Ryan, Mavs Fanatic isn't part of SB Nation or Fansided or any of those, like, blog-type networks. And it's just kind of a blog on its own. I mean, you started it and built it from the ground up. Tell us a little bit more about how you started Mavs Fanatic and where we're coming from and where we're going.
Yeah, so I started it just, honestly, to write about the Mavericks. It was right after the Mavericks won the championship. I enjoy writing myself. So I really just started it so that I could, you know, post some articles here and there. And it kind of caught on. Certain people started reaching out, you know, started getting some writers that would want to participate. And we really built ourselves via social media. And I think people enjoy the following of our, you know, live tweets during games and kind of our fan personality and the perspective from a fan's point of mind. And I think the really cool thing about what we're doing is we're giving people an opportunity to show off their skills, whether it be journalism, producing video content, things like that. I think that's what's really, you know, what greater opportunity than to go say, all right, this is what I did for a few years. It's something that I have a passion for. And yet I get to cover the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, it's pretty cool. And it just kind of caught on. And as far as moving forward, we're really trying to grow this podcast. You guys are doing a tremendous job there. Really, we're just trying to gain kind of like an overall day-to-day presence in the NBA world when it comes to the Dallas Mavericks.
Ryan, what was your original vision for Mavs Fanatic, and has it exceeded expectations, what you personally thought as the time keeps going by?
You know, it blows my mind, actually. Again, I mean, I just thought it was going to be somewhere I could just buy a domain. You know, I thought Mavs Fanatic kind of just had a good ring to it because I consider myself one. And I just really thought I was going to just post some articles every now and then, you know. If I had an opinion on something, post it, throw it on some social media and see if people like what they're reading. Where it's gone from there, I mean, the fact that we have credentials at the games year-round, never thought that would happen. The fact that we're, you know, making contact with some of the players and some of, the Mavs management and things like that, it blows my mind. Truthfully, I'm jealous because I'm here in Arizona. That's where I started it. And if I was in Dallas, I mean, I'd be full go at the whole thing. But, as of right now, the people that I have, you guys there, some of my in-game people, Nick, you're one of them. You guys are doing a tremendous job, and it blows my mind where it's gone.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome and obviously a great opportunity for, you know, somebody like me who is like, I don't know where to go. Do I start applying to, you know, different places, radio shows? Or do I start applying to, you know, places and I can just, I don't know, kind of create a resume and just put all this stuff together? And in the same way, I mean, we have, with Mavs Fanatic, we have almost the same access that some of the, you know, ESPN reporters and some of the, CBS radio and stuff like that. Other kind of news outlets. I mean, we have the same access as them with our media credentials and things like that. So it's pretty amazing just how it has grown from just you writing, you know, by yourself to now. I mean, how many writers do we have? 12, 10 or 12 writers?
10, 12. You know, and I actually have a funny story too. I'll never forget it. I was in Vegas for the summer league and I was with a buddy of mine. Wasn't really covering the Mavericks. I had Mavs Fanatic, so I was, you know, we didn't have a credential for the actual thing, but I went there and I told my buddy, like, let's go check out one of the games. I'll cover it. I'll check out the game. Maybe I'll write a recap or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget it. We're in a cab or an Uber or something like that, or maybe we were walking to the game. I don't really remember, but we we get there, and Mark Cuban was standing out there. My buddy goes, "There's Mark Cuban right there." I was like, "Oh, that's funny." And so sure enough, I look out, you know, I look out there, and there he is. And he goes, "Dude, you got to get a picture." And I'm like, "No, I'm not that guy.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm not going to like run up to somebody." But my buddy's like, "Hey, Mark, you mind taking a picture with my buddy? He's a real big fan." And I'll never forget it. I put my arm around him, and he goes, "Oh, you're a big fan?" And I was like, "Yeah. You know, I started Madison." He goes, "Oh, yeah, I've heard of you guys. You guys are doing a really good job." And I'll never forget it because,
boom.
Again, it never seemed like something that would ever even get to that point. And he might have been blowing smoke for all I know.
Sure.
But to me, it felt like he probably did. He probably did read it or see it at some point, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, or at least get briefed on it, you know, like at least right. Something, you know, at least.
Yes.
Because you got to know that people on the team that work for the team are looking out for all their, you know, publicity and all the things and what people are saying and what bloggers like us are saying. Because that kind of gives you an idea of what the fans think, you know, especially a Mavs fanatic type site where it's by fans for fans. You know, it's like this is the idea and what Mavs fans are thinking, you know.
Yeah, and it's a huge testament to the people within the Mavericks organization. Again, never thought, you know, I never reached out to anybody. Actually, they reached out to me. I got a voicemail one day, wow. And they said, "Hey, like, you know, the Dallas Mavericks are really big on their blogs. They want blog coverage. They felt like that really drove the news and probably kept the Mavericks in the news constantly, whether
sure.
It's, you know, on Google and, you know, articles popping up, whatever it might be." But, you know, they reached out to me, and I went to a food game out here and covered the game. And Nick, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, because the first game I ever did, I was like a deer in headlights. I was all dressed up.
Yep.
I brought this laptop, and I remember Derek walked right by me, and I was like caught in awe. But
yeah.
I mean, one of the coolest things I've ever done. And like I said, if I was in Dallas, I'd do it on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And the thing, at least in the AAC that I've run into when I first got there, is just trying to figure out where to go. I mean, just trying to figure which door to go to, which places
yep.
I'm allowed in.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy, but you are that guy. Like, you don't want to be the guy who just looks totally lost. You're like, everybody knows what they're doing, but I don't. But in reality, you really are, because the first time you go in there, you have no idea what you're doing.
And luckily,
I was totally that guy. I remember Earl K. Sneed looked right at me, and he goes, "Never seen you here before." And I'm like, "Oh, man." I'm like, and, you know, him and Dwayne Price were probably the only two that actually talked to me, besides Sarah Melton, who's like the PR for the Mavericks.
Right.
But, man, I was a dude in headlights. I didn't know where I was going. I sat in the locker room before the game. They're all getting ready, and I didn't know who to talk to. Like, I'm just kind of standing there.
Yeah.
And then as the night goes, you get a little bit more comfortable. But I try to do it every time the Mavericks are here, which is usually at least two times a year.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's an awesome experience, man.
It's awesome. So, yeah, MavsFanatic.com. If you guys want to check that out, read some of our stuff. We do pregame and postgame recaps.
It.
We do, obviously we have this podcast, we do features. We got a bunch of stuff on the website this week for trades. Actually, Dylan Duell, who's on this podcast earlier this season, he talked about the possibility of sending Deron Williams back to Utah. And as soon as he published that, there was a report that Utah
was
interested.
And isn't that crazy?
It looked like he broke the story. So, I mean,
he had an inside scoop.
They really have. I mean, the writers really have their finger on the pulse of everything going on with the Mavericks.
Definitely.
So Ryan, so thanks so much for joining us, man. And yeah, check out MavsFanatic.com.
I'm sure you will.
All right, fellas. Keep doing your thing.
Thanks, Ryan. There we go. That was our podcast today. Anybody that was listening for the first time, thanks so much for joining us.
We love all the listeners. We love MassFanatic.com. We love the Almighty Ballers. We thank everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, we
thanks
ballin'.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks to Mike Fisher for joining us. That was big.
Ryan Wilson, we thank you as well.
Ryan Wilson, thanks so much for joining us. That was big.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a good day.
A great day.
Good
and
podcast.
Hopefully, by the time you hear this, the Mavericks will make a deal. Well, maybe not, because we don't want this to be dated. But.
Right. And we also hope that when you listen to this podcast, you know that Taman's always right and it's always wrong. That's the end of the story.
There you go. And, of course, this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/almighty. Get that free book. Read some stuff. Listen to some stuff. Learn some stuff this weekend.
Taman out.
Nick also out. Thanks, guys.
It's a common expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. However, what if the horse's mouth is filled with useful insurance tools? This is the exact case with the Geico app. Yes, the app is free and therefore a gift horse. However, look inside the app and behold, emergency roadside assistance, digital ID cards, bill pay. Get the Geico app. Look it in the mouth. Get amazing services. Thank you.